One of the great heroines of modern British history is Florence Nightingale, popularly called the Lady with the Lamp. And she got that nickname, interestingly, when Russia was at war with the West back in the mid-19th century. And she brought in a lot of new nursing practices, hygiene arrangements, and she worked hard to improve the recovery rate for soldiers, particularly who had been injured in the Crimea War. And as she went inspecting the wards and inspecting the nurses who were being trained, she did so at night with a lamp. And the soldiers nicknamed her the Lady with the Lamp, and that nickname stuck, and that's how we remember Florence Nightingale to this day. Here in Luke chapter 15, we have another lady with a lamp. And she's at the center of this parable told by our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 15. We call it usually the parable of the lost coin. She has seven silver coins. They may have been part of a headdress that ladies wore in Bible times, or maybe they were part of her savings. But one of these coins had gone missing. And it wasn't as insignificant as one of our silver coins, a 5p piece or a 50p piece. If you lost a 5p or a 50p piece, we might make jokes about you coming from Ballymena. But you really wouldn't worry too much about the fact, and sorry if you're from Ballymena. I see some faces over there laughing. We wouldn't worry too much if we lost such a silver coin ourselves. But this is a coin that most likely represents either part of a headdress, like a charm bracelet that ladies wore around their heads in Bible times, or else it was some sort of a significant part of her life savings, which she had, and one of those coins had been lost. And so what she does is she lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, probably an earthen floor house, and then when she finds the coin in the dirt, she brings her friends together and she says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." And that joy she has is a picture, Jesus says, of the joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. So repentance is a really significant theme here in this story this morning, and we'll come back to that later on. But let me say, first of all, and I think some of these titles are going to come up on the screen. First thing I want to say this morning is when that coin was lost, one of the 10 coins was lost, she searched carefully. This is this woman, and she's a picture, as I read this parable, she is a picture of the work of God the Holy Spirit, searching for that which has been lost. We, last week, thought about the lost sheep, and there's different ways in which human beings are lost. Last week, the lost sheep, we could say, was lost by accident. It just kind of kept moving slowly out of the area in which it was meant to graze. It didn't mean to get lost, but it was lost by accident. Next week, or next time, we'll not be in this next week, but next time we maybe come back to Luke chapter 15, the third story is the story of the young man. And the young man, he was lost by arrogance. And this coin in the middle is lost by negligence. One was lost by accident, one by arrogance, and one by negligence. You can be lost in different ways, but at the end of the day, if you're lost, you're lost. And that's what Jesus is teaching us through this parable today of this lost coin. The coin is lost, and it can't find itself. When a coin is lost, it can't find itself. Matthew Henry says in his commentary, this silver was lost in the dirt. And he says it's a picture of a soul plunged in the world, overwhelmed with the love of the world and care of the world. It's like a piece of money in the dirt, such a soul. And there it lies. Coins in Bible times, just as we have the Queen's head stamped on the side of one of our coins, coins in Bible times had the head of the emperor stamped upon them. So this coin bearing the stamp of the king is lost in the dirt. And there it is, it's gone. It's defiled. It's dirty. It's hidden. What a picture this is for us today as we think about this. As I say, there are different ways of being lost. And this coin is lost. And it's lost in the dirt. The sheep the previous week, there was no dirt that it was involved in. But this coin is lost in the dirt, and it's a picture for us of the human soul plunged into the world where the cravings of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of the heart defile you. They defile you in the eyes of God, and they leave you far from God, just as this coin was far from the woman who owned it. And as I say, left to itself, this coin was helpless. It couldn't find itself. There was the image of the king upon it, just as your soul and my soul, we are made in the image of God. But when we're lost, we can't find ourselves. Lots of people, used to be very trendy 30, 40, 50 years ago, people used to say, it kind of came out of California, I think, I'm going off to find myself. And hippies went off to find themselves. Or people try to find themselves in transcendental meditation. Or find themselves in some religion. Or find themselves in alcohol. Or find themselves through counseling. Some of those things can maybe help in some ways, like counseling. But people are looking to these things to find who they are because they're lost. They don't know who they are. And those things may sell for a time, but they won't address the bottom line problem, our complete inability to find ourselves. One of my favorite Bible stories is the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. A woman who was totally lost. A woman who she'd been married five times. And the man she was currently with was not her husband. And she was a bit like Mick Jagger. You know the Rolling Stones song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction? When Mick Jagger was up on stage, she was the one trying to get up on stage to sing it with him. I can't get no satisfaction. Five husbands. The man she was currently with was her sixth. She couldn't get no satisfaction. She was lost. And you remember Jesus said to her some of the most gracious words. He didn't condemn her. He didn't write her off. He didn't say, you're a hopeless case. He said, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Son of Man, as we heard last week, came to seek and to save that which was lost. And this woman, lighting her lamp and searching carefully, is searching as a picture for the work of God the Spirit, who is in the world today, searching for hearts like yours and for hearts like mine that are lost. And as she searches diligently, God is searching the house of planet Earth by the power of His Spirit to find and to save those plunged into the dirt of this world. Secondly, let me say, she lit a lamp, or a candle, I think it is, in the King James Version. In the NIV, it's a lamp. She lit a lamp deliberately because she must have lived in a dark house. She knew that without the lamp, there was no electric, of course, in Bible times, but she knew that without the lamp, and maybe it was an earthen floor, a dirt floor, as floors would have been, without light, she had no chance of finding the coin. Darkness. I think of the very first verse of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. How many people do they say something like this when you talk to them about God? I'm in the dark about God. I'm in the dark. I don't know God. I don't know. Never mind trying to find myself. I can't find God. I'm totally in the dark so far as God is concerned. But this woman lighting a lamp is a picture of what God has done in sending his son into the world. Remember how Jesus said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. And he said in John chapter 9, to a man who was born blind. Imagine being born blind, born in the darkness. Jesus said to him, I am the light of the world. Very strange thing to say to a man who was blind. I am the light of the world. But when Jesus said that to that man, the words of Jesus were able to impart light to him, and Jesus made him see. Or take what happened when Jesus hung upon the cross outside the city of Jerusalem. Mark's gospel tells us at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, a 3-hour darkness. Jesus on the cross, for the last 3 hours of his life in darkness. Now, what was going on there? Jesus was taking our darkness upon himself so that believing on him and repenting of our sin, we wouldn't have to go into long-term eternal darkness. But we would come to know God and we would come into the light both now and forevermore. Sometimes after an earthquake, people who are digging through the rubble, they find someone who's still alive. And they clear the rubble away, and they pull the person out of the rubble, and that person emerges blinking into the sunlight. And that's a bit like what I'm saying today. Emerging from the darkness, from the spiritual darkness into which we are born, we emerge blinking into the sunlight. That's what God does. Because the good news is God has lit a lamp, and that lamp is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to put away the darkness. And Matthew Henry, again to quote him, he says, he has lighted the candle of the gospel not to show himself the way to us, but to show us the way to him, to discover us to ourselves. And so I say to you today that without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you'll never know who you are and you'll never know who God is. You'll be in the dark. But the psalmist in Psalm 27 had both discovered who he was and who God is, because he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And if you come to Christ, when you come to Christ, he will remove your darkness and the light of your life will shine upon you. As the prophet says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. This is the work of God. He lit a lamp deliberately. And Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross is the light of the world. So come to him. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The third thing then about this woman, she searched carefully. She lit a lamp deliberately. She rejoiced gratefully. Is the third thing. Verse 9, when she finds the coin, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, and she says, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost coin. This is why I say it wasn't a 5p or a 50p piece. You wouldn't call your friends together for a celebration because you'd found 5p. They'd think you were off your rocker. This coin was valuable. It mattered to her. And she gathered her friends and neighbors to rejoice that which had been lost had been found, just as human souls are valuable to God. And notice the application of this that Jesus makes, the master storyteller. He says in verse 10, in the same way I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Sometimes I notice online these videos come up, I died and went to heaven for an hour and this is what I saw. Or people write books, I died and went to heaven and I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe a word of it because it's revelation outside of Scripture. These are things that we must mistrust when people tell us. Because here, Jesus Christ is telling us about something that happens in heaven. This is trustworthy. That there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Because here is now what we are called to do in order to respond to God who has lit this lamp of Jesus Christ. What is repentance? Well, repentance in practice, the Bible says, is the gift of God. God turns to me, and when God turns to me, I become sorrowful for my sin, become aware of my sin. Maybe for the first time in my life, I become aware, it will be the first time in my life, that I am a deep-dyed sinner. And I become sorrowful for my sin. I become ashamed of my sin. I become guilty for my sin. But in faith, I turn to God, believing that He will receive me. And I turn to Him and ask Him for forgiveness of my sins. And in turning to me, I receive from Him forgiveness. It's a bit like someone walking down a road this way and they do an about turn and they go down the road this way. That's repentance. You turn around. You reverse. That's a 180-degree turn. And Jesus says that in heaven, when that happens on earth, the angels rejoice. Sometimes people ask me a question. When there's death in a family, do you think that people in heaven see what happens on earth? I don't know about people in heaven seeing what happens on earth, but here Jesus says, angels in heaven see what happens on earth. And they see when sinners repent. And they rejoice. They rejoice. So let me end with a few personal applications today. Last week, it was 1 in 100 that was lost and was found. Next time, it's 1 in 1 that was lost, that was found. Today, it's 1 in 10. It's a 1 in 100, 1 in 10, and then next time, if we go to the parable of the lost son, 1 in 1. But the point is, it's getting narrower. 1 in 100, 1 in 10, 1 in 1. It's coming personal. Because you can come to a service like this, and you can blend into the big crowd, and it's just so good to see so many people. So good to have such a large congregation in Drumrea. But you know, you can hide in a congregation like this. You can hide. You can say, this isn't for me, it's for him down there or her over there. I know who really needs to hear this today. This is for you. 1 in 100, 1 in 10, 1 in 1, it gets closer, it gets personal. Because it's not for the crowd, it's for the ones. So will you repent? We have Children's Day next week, so I can't come back to this theme immediately. In the week after, I'm thinking I'm in Kilrats, but what about today? What about you? Have you repented? Have you been sorrowful for your sin? Ashamed of it? Guilty? And have you asked God for forgiveness? Secondly, have you felt the dirt of this world? I mean, you can hardly not feel the dirt of this world. The emptiness of it, the unfaithfulness, the filthiness of your own heart, your inability to save yourself, that you can't save yourself. That you need to be saved from the holiness of God. Because left to yourself, you're like a coin in the dirt on the floor. And then there is this call, is there not, to respond. I mean, if God has been searching for you, and I believe God is at work, I don't read this parable and think, oh, well, God might be at work somewhere in some country, somewhere in the world. God's at work here. And maybe God has been prodding you lately. Your conscience, maybe sermons you've been hearing, maybe when the Bible's read, or maybe little coincidences that you know aren't coincidences. Some person has come beside you and spoken to you at work who's a Christian, or your neighbor who's a Christian, or you've been given a tract, or you've even, perhaps on a TV program or something, some verse of scripture God has been bringing before you over and over and over again. Repent. Turn from sin. Embrace the Son. And if you claim to have repented of your sin, and you say to me today, well, Richard, I am saved, are you battling sin? Day by day? Are you aspiring to be like Christ? To live out the new birth? To prove that Christ is in you? The hope of glory, that you are a new creature, that the old has gone and that the new has come. Because Christianity is the life of God inside human beings, and then that proved as they live it out from the inside. It's an act of God, the soul saved, and the rejoicing that they have, that they now know God. Friends, this is a beautiful parable. I hope you've felt the beauty of it today and the truth of it and the goodness of it. The lady with the lamp. But it's a picture of God the Holy Spirit searching for souls like yours and for souls like mine. Have you turned to the light? Have you repented of your sin? And have you received Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful parable, and we thank you, Father, for the way in which it speaks into our lives and reveals to us heaven and earth and Christ and the Holy Spirit and your care for our souls, your stamp upon us made in your image. Help us, we pray, Father, to think long and hard about these things that we have heard today. And Father, help us, we pray, to know that man does not live by bread alone, as we sang earlier, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. For we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.